I want to talk about the power of enjoying life. The power of enjoying life. How many of us would like to enjoy life? How many of you know sometimes we have to work at that? Our enjoyment level can ebb and flow. But I think there are things in the equation that we can do to add and to enhance our enjoyment of life. And I think we are supposed to, lest we have an improper mindset of who God is. And if we're not given to Scripture, all we're left with is our own imagination and maybe traditions of men, that he's this ogre and he's a party pooper. He can't have fun there, so he doesn't want you to have fun here, so he's trying to wreck the weekend for his own sake. And that's not our God at all. And so enjoyment of life should be something that's a premium to us. We can and we should enjoy it. But I want to emphasize today the choice that's in the equation. We have permission to enjoy this life. I'm looking forward to heaven, but I don't want to get there quite yet. Heaven's going to be amazing. It's going to be wall to wall Holy Ghost. It's going to be great. Every tear is going to be wiped from our eyes. There's going to be no pain or suffering there. And that's great. That's going to be wonderful. But we have been granted permission now to enjoy this life. And if we are not happy as a general rule, and I'm not talking about the day in and the day out or in certain seasons. How many of you know that certain seasons aren't as happy as others? And day to day, sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down, all of that. But if we're not happy as a general rule, then how can we therefore recommend our religion? How can we then therefore recommend our faith? But we can be a happy people and an enjoyable people due to certain things that God has allowed us to discover. I want everyone right now, smile real big. Come on, work those face muscles. Work it. Work it. It's hard. Your head will not crack, I promise you. Work it. Work those muscles. All right. Work it, work it, work it. Very good. Tell your face that you've got a lot to be grateful for and thankful for, as we sang earlier. You know, they say even when you're in a job interview or when you're talking on the phone, even though visually you're not in connection, but tone is affected by a smile. Tone is affected by just our countenance. Isn't that an incredible thing? And as one of my favorite Filipino pastor friends said, how can you face your problem when your problem is your face? So, okay, anyway. Lord help us. But as people, and even Christians, have been polled and have been asked in their twilight years, if you could do it again, what would you do differently? How many of you know when you're in your twilight years, there are a few things that you can, you know, assess and just take notation of and consider. But it's interesting, one of the top tier responses to those that are in their golden years is, I just wish I'd enjoyed things more. The things that I feared might happen never did. Therefore, I was robbed of the opportunity of joy in the moment. And of course, all through Scripture did God not say, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. But oh, we got to help God. We got to worry to make sure that everything pans out. We got to add our fear to the equation as if God is handcuffed or anemic or weak or unable. But many times, one of the top answers, you know, certainly I have regrets. There are things I would have done differently. Yeah, sure. How many of y'all have a few little regrets in life? You want a do-over? Or yesterday, like on that driving range, a mulligan. A few folk could have taken a mulligan yesterday. But it's all right. Even the hackers had fun. It was a great day. But so there's some regret in there. But again, one of the number one responses, I just wish I had just enjoyed it more. Because sometimes I think we can be our own worst enemy, as we live in our head versus living in the promise of God and living outside of ourselves. Sometimes we just got to get outside of our head and outside of ourself and not take ourselves so seriously. One time I was talking to my dad and he said, son, you think too much. In other words, I was talking about something. I was going into the intricacies of it. But it was just a funny comment that he made. But we need to get outside of ourselves. How many pulled for the pack yesterday? Just curious in the house. Anybody red and white in here? All right, we got a few Tar Heels, I know. You know, we're a bit of a mutt in our house because I went to state, but I was a campus minister at Duke and at state and at Virginia. And then just, we're mixed through and through. But so we certainly pull for state. I don't often pull for Carolina, but I tell you what, this year in particular, because Mack Brown, the football coach, has come back, and I think Mack Brown, what is he, about 67? He's in his latter 60s, 67, and he was there years ago, and he has returned to be the football coach there, and I think it's like 21 years later. Is that right, Matt, Jamie? Does that sound about right? So those first couple of games were just precious. When he was interviewed and he was a little bit weepy, he said, I just wanted this so much for the team. They've been through so much, and I'm just happy for them. And it caught him in the locker room kind of dancing like an old white man does, you know, which means no timing, no rhythm, you know. But at any rate, he does have his gifts, but not there. But it was just really precious. But as they were interviewing him after the game, they were just saying, well, what do you think? You know, this has got to be just wonderful for you. You know, your first win and facing, you know, Miami the next week. He goes, you know, it really is great. And my wife told me, she said, you can go back, but you got to promise me, honey, this time, enjoy it. Enjoy it. And I think we need to encourage each other that way. And certainly we get that from the Lord to enjoy it. Can you say enjoy it? We got to be different as believers, don't we? We must have something different, true. Certainly if we're going to provoke those who don't know the Lord. But again, much in life is a choice. And if we make that right choice often enough, it'll stick. It'll stick. It'll stick. Life is short and complicated. Therefore, we choose joy. Misery and oppression might certainly try to choose you, but you choose joy. There are things that are choosing you all the time. You know that weapons are formed against you. Just go ahead and resign to that. Yes, they're formed. I get it. They're pressing their way into me. They are choosing me, but I'm not choosing them. Misery is choosing me, but I'm not choosing misery. Oppression, but I'm not choosing it. I am choosing joy. You've heard the sentiment, it takes two to tango. Well, don't tango. Don't dance with misery and oppression. Choose joy. Take joy to the dance. Hello? Take joy to the dance of life. God, through Jesus, chose you, so dance with the one who brung you. Make music in your heart to him. Don't go switching out partners. So, let's back up here and go to Ephesians 5, if you would here. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Join with me in verse 18. Let's read this out loud together. Go. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I appreciate them playing that song here this morning. So again, we're not going to go switching out partners. But I love that. Make music in your heart to God. Make music. There's a choice in your heart to God. Dance with him in the dance of life. The music is in you. Even though High School Musical said, you are the music in me. Well, the Lord is the music in us. Hello? They don't have a corner on the kingdom. And so there is music there to be made. There is a dance to attend. But there will be others that will want to cut in on the dance. How many of you know that you see it, you know, in different ages gone by of the etiquette of cutting in with a little light tap, tap, tap? I don't know if y'all have ever seen Andy Griffith. How many of y'all have ever seen Andy Griffith? You need to see it. You've got the scriptures, and then you've got Andy Griffith. It's just a little bit lower, just relating just good life messages. But Ernest T. Bass, who was the country hick, they were going to try to teach him some etiquette. And then there was a part where they were dancing. And they said, you know, and if you want to cut in, you just tap someone on the shoulder and the gentleman will give way and you can dance with who he's dancing with. And so anyway, someone was dancing with the girl he wanted to dance with. And he went and he tapped and they just kind of kept dancing. And he looked at the person who was trying to instruct him and he went back, tapped. And they just kind of kept dancing. Then he came back again and tapped. And they just, you know, ignored him and kept dancing. Then he got a flower pot, went and just broke it over their head. There are those that are wanting to cut in on our dance. They're asking for permission, but we just make the choice. I'm just not going to give way. I am enjoying my dance with the Lord. I am making music to Him in my heart. And I'm not giving you a toe hold. So joy is premium in this hour. It is one of the nine fruits of the Spirit. So then, therefore, enjoy the life we have. You have permission. And I would think even a charge to do so. Enjoy what He has done. Enjoy what He has made. We have a kingdom. And we are a part of a kingdom that has this amazing king. Our kingdom is not of this world. We are in the world, yes, but not of the world. Yet He has placed us here. So enjoy while being somewhat transcendent. And that helps us actually to enjoy what He's created and put here, because we know that while we're here, we're also of another kingdom, and we know that this life is passing, and we know even things that we see are merely temporal, and they are subject to change. And I think it confuses the enemy when we actually do enjoy life, because he's trying so hard to put just restricting a religious spirit on us by creating some kind of weird misery index, as if that pleases God. So when we enjoy creation, when we enjoy one another, when we enjoy God, when we enjoy life, when we make our own fun, I think it pleases God and I think it confuses the adversary. I think he wants to shut down. If he can't keep us from getting saved, at least he can skew our vision of the faith and put a man-made yoke on us to keep us oppressed in the name of this is your reasonable service. And it's not. That's not our reasonable service. We can enjoy creation, what He's made. Dear me, the oceans, the mountains, the rivers, the lakes. Enjoy one another. Thank God for friends. Thank God for family. Sometimes when we don't feel the nearness we need from the Lord, we get what we need through the transfer of the encouragement in the person next to us. Thank God for the people of God. David rejoiced in the saints of the Lord, the godly ones. We can enjoy the Lord Himself, His presence, His love. We can enjoy life around us. Enjoy sports. Enjoy travel. Enjoy hobbies. Enjoy activities. Enjoy relationships. Again, I think it confuses the enemy when we do, when we live it to the full, realizing I have permission to be full. I have permission to be filled. I was exhorted in Ephesians 5 to just that, to be filled with the Spirit, to make music in my heart to the Lord and to be thankful. I think it perplexes the enemy. It's kind of like putting Judah on front of the army. Who does that? Who puts a worship team on front of an army? But again, it threw the enemy into great confusion. You know, the Puritans have a very rich place in our church history, but there is this unfortunate caricature of stodgy, killjoy Christianity that doesn't match the fullness of life defined in Scripture by the author of life. I just don't think it's right to embrace love, to embrace peace, to embrace patience, to embrace kindness, to embrace goodness, to embrace faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, but then leave joy up on the shelf. Hello? I mean, if we're going to embrace the fruit of the Spirit, let's get them all. Let's get a handful. Let's get a basket. Let's pick all we can get. Amen. So we don't want to do the things of the Lord and live this life while joy is missing. Hello? Again, what was some of the regret of those in their golden age? I just wish I had enjoyed it more. Now, don't get down because you're not enjoying it more, but make the choice, I'm going to enjoy it more. I not only have permission, I feel like I have a mandate biblically and a charge to enter in to this fullness that he died to provide. He came that we might have life unto the full, we know. So keep our smile in Christianity. In his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Man-made religion would never tell you that. They'd say, be austere, be stern, do without. Earn your right standing before the Lord. If you can be miserable enough, he'll accept you then. Just be miserable enough. That's real true piety. No, that's ignorance. Hosea said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's like, no. At his right hand, there are pleasures. In his presence, fullness of joy. Why? Because that's who he is. That's what he has to give. At his right hand, well, I just thought he was a party pooper. No, at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Can you say pleasures? Pleasures. Psalm 16:11 declares legal, biblical, moral, superior pleasures. They are ours to enjoy, 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 enjoy. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Paul had to address the church in Colossae when he said this, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, don't touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. We back up into earlier verse of Colossians 2 where he said, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you are taught, and overflowing, how? With thankfulness. Our dance is with him, not man-made restriction. We're not dancing with man-made restriction. We're not dancing with a yoke of rules and regulations and a sense of I ought to, I got to, I can't. You know, our faith should never be reduced to I can't, I can't, I can't. My wife's little nephew, Joseph, he thought growing up, his name is Joseph. He thought his name was Joseph, no. Because all the time the parents were saying, Joseph, no. Joseph, no. You know, he just heard it so much. He thought his name was Joseph, no. But it's not, you're not like Will, no. Josh, no. It's like Will, yes. You're like, yes, you can. Gentua, yes. Enter into the fullness of your master, yes. I mean, there's times for no, but as we've said before, our God is not mostly sad or mostly mad. He's mostly glad. Hello? And there's a dance to be danced if we can renew our mind, you see, in a right way. So our dance is not with man-made restriction. That's why we smile. That's why Paul wrote this to the Colossians here. Don't be limited to that. It has a mere shadow, a mere appearance of restraining sensual indulgence, but it has no value unto real godliness. The substance belongs to Christ. He's your maker. He's the one that died for you. Relate with him. Therefore, we do enjoy. We can enjoy. Our joy is not derived by the heavy yoke of observing rules and regulations. It comes from above. It comes from the Spirit. Therefore, we again can't embrace the other eight fruits of the Spirit and leave joy up on the shelf. Jesus liberates. You know, Hebrews said about Christ, and again, there are pictures of a solemn Christ. We get that. And yes, even though Isaiah 53 did say he was familiar with suffering, a man of sorrows, there were seasons where he had to push through things. But in Hebrews, the author says he was anointed with the oil of gladness far beyond his companions. So the guy down at the club didn't have anything on Jesus. I mean, they thought they were down there cutting a jig and just, you know, partying up the night. No, no. According to Jesus, it says he was anointed with the oil of gladness far above his companions. So some of our artwork is good. Some of it is just one-dimensional. But he was a man of gladness and a man of great joy. And yes, there are seasons, there are days, there are trials that we push through. But even concerning Christ, he said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. His ability to endure was the fruit of you sitting here today saved. And he did it to be pleasing and to honor his Father. Joy was his power to push through. It was a life force for him. It should be for us as well. And so really, when you think about it, it's really not a negotiable. We better cherish and champion that joy and protect it and then make the choice to go after it, especially when we feel things sagging. You see, Nehemiah went so far as to say, look, guys, we got to be clear here. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You won't be able to fight vigorously without this. So get happy. Drink a little sweet drink. Put a little smile on your face. It's going to put muscle on the inside of you. Little strength might be the result of little joy. Proverbs goes so far as to say, laughter is a good medicine. Ha, 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 ha. I don't feel like laughing. Well, sometimes just by faith, when you're being lied to, you just need to ha, ha. You know, I mean, you may not, but fake it till you make it. Hello? In other words, prime the pump a little bit. Put on some praise, maybe the sacrifice of praise, but laughter is a good medicine. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. You know, it's interesting, the renewal and the revival in Toronto back in 1994 really was a revival of joy and healing due to the Father's love. And I remember one man who was, you know, a bit offended by it all, as many were, but he said, I preferred, how many of you know God retains the right to be sovereign? He said, I knew that revival was going to break in. He said, but I preferred more of a Charles Finney style of intense fire, conviction, salvation, etc. Yet in 1984, when God began to visit, he chose to visit first with wine. The wine of his spirit. And there were those that were like, what in the world is this? And the Holy Spirit is equated with many things in Scripture. You know, water, well, rivers. But there, among other descriptions, we find fire, we find wind, and we find wine. And it was as if God was needing to get his people drunk long enough to heal them emotionally. It's just like, I'm going to use them because there is a harvest to come, but they're not in a good condition right now. So I'm going to serve the wind and I am going to serve the fire, but right now I've got to begin with wine. And a lot of people look at that and going like, you got to be kidding me. It's like they're not healthy enough to be the infrastructure of the end day harvest that will come on the earth. So initially I'm going to have to serve the wine first for their own healing and the healing of their heart. And so the offense of wine came. It came first. It was offensive to many. But then the wind and then the fire are around the corner. At Pentecost, we find all three. We find wine, we find fire, we find wind. Go there if you would. You have a moment. Go with me to Acts. We'll just look at this record here. Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent, wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then we jump to verse 12, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Verse 13, some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much what? Wine. They have had too much what? Wine. Now, didn't we just read in Ephesians 5, don't be drunk with wine, for that leads to debauchery, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. So you see the correlation there. In other words, be drunk with new wine, yes. Be full of my spirit, yes. Make music in your hearts to me, yes. Create an environment of thanksgiving and dance the dance I've called you to, yes, certainly. And when drunk on his love, Then we don't take ourselves so seriously and we start looking outward and loving on others. Again, if we are going to serve the Lord, then let's serve Him with gladness of heart. What do you reckon? What do you think? Come on, talk to your face right now. Break it. Happy, happy, happy. As the Robertson theologians would tell us. If we serve Him, do it with gladness of heart. Psalm 102 in the New American Standard reads, read this out loud together with me. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. I love the same passage in the Message translation. It reads, quote, on your feet now, applaud God, bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into His presence. I love that. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourself into His presence. Sing yourself happy. Enjoyment that comes from God and what He's created all around. And in that context, from that position, enjoy life. The enjoyable God has given us an enjoyable life. You know, Solomon said that a man's lot, his portion under the sun, is to enjoy his labor. I know that many times our labor can, in some contexts, be anything but enjoyable. But could there be a secret key in attitude and disposition? Y'all have heard me tell the story many times of Dr. James Dobson and his wife, Shirley. He was a clinical psychologist, and they were working their fingers to the bone while in school. Full-time, working full-time, and they would, quote, live for the weekend. And then they backed up and they thought, you know, this is a recipe for not good. Because what we're doing is we're setting ourselves up not to be able to find any advantage Monday through Friday. That's just, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. On Monday morning, instead of saying, good morning, Lord, many say, dear Lord, it's morning. It's like, here we go. But it's like, but could there be a secret? God, can I find You? Can I make music in my heart for the joy set before Him? Is it possible, even in those less than ideal settings, to find measures of His grace? I think so. This whole opioid addiction epidemic is just in the news every other day. It's taking over in a wild way. And even though many times it starts off just merely, you know, helping with some pain issues, but it's epidemic in this day. And, you know, if we were to ask, why do people self-medicate so much? Either through alcohol, either through pornography, either through drugs. Why is there such self-medicating? Because people are trying to alter their state, their interior state, probably their exterior state. And most times, they're just merely medicating pain. They medicate to alter their state, you see. But God, through His kingdom, He's given us an altered state, has He not? God's kingdom has provided us an altered state. Thank God. Thank God for the pill that we have, the gospel, amen. Thank God that all the promises of God are yes and amen. Thank God for the privilege and the benefit and the advantage if we're aware and make the choice to get full of the Lord and His Spirit. Many times people don't hunger for the right things because they're full of too many erroneous things. Hello? Why is this person not more hungry? Well, it's maybe they're just too full of other stuff. So you have to offload some stuff in order to make room for the Lord, you see. But God does satisfy. He does satisfy. I love when John Piper says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. He has given us an altered state. Yes, there's pain in the world. There's pain in culture. The question is, what's the drug of your choice? I used to tell people all the time, you know, like when the trials come, I said, well, I don't drink alcohol and I don't look at porn, but bless God, I will stick my hand in the cookie jar. So that was my drug of choice, you know. What's our drug of choice this morning? While God's in the wings going, got wine? You want wine? I got wine. You want happy? I've got something for you over here. As if there's some secret steel in the backyard. But he'll grant us that altered state. I love 2 Peter 1:4. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption due to lust and evil desires. See, we are of another kingdom. Romans 14:17. Amen. The kingdom of God is not limited to these externals. It's not eating and drinking. The kingdom of God, what is it? It's righteousness. It's what? Peace. It's what? But I thought that we were to be this caricature of the puritanical misery. No. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. That's in the package. So we allow the Word of God to define what our kingdom reality is to look like. A little secret here. A little secret. Enjoying God, enjoying life, it's a weapon. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. Live it to the full. Learn the lesson now. Start enjoying it. Again, if nothing else, do it by faith. Be filled and start to make music in your heart to the Lord. He's a great winemaker. He'll dispense it. Those who hungry and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. But he does want that reciprocal connection as he woos us. Make music. I love that. What does that mean? Make music in my heart to the Lord. Love that. Ponder that this week. What does it look like for you and your family to make music in your heart to the Lord? Otherwise, how can we recommend our religion? Is our message, Jesus is Lord, therefore suck it up, suffer, and deal with it? Is that our message to culture? I hope not. But we certainly don't want to live that way. But many may unconsciously, subconsciously live that way. Rather, hear the music. Enter the dance. Stay with your partner when other things are trying to cut in his presence, fullness of joy. At his right hand, their pleasures forevermore. I just want to encourage you, it's addicting. It is addicting. I mean, you get near God, he touches you, you have to have more. And in his sovereignty, he pulls back a little bit. And then all of a sudden, it starts the chase on your part and my part. And we come back to get another connection. And oh, we're so filled and so satisfied. And in his sovereignty, he pulls back a little bit more. And then we run after him. There are times we feel him, there are times we don't. We've talked before about how Luther, the night before, when they encouraged him, charged him to recant. He didn't feel diddly squat the night before, but it didn't matter. He knew what he knew. He believed what he believed. He had no idea that just right around the corner, the Protestant Reformation would be born. But we get around him and the wine that he serves. We make music in our hearts to the Lord. And we stay with our partner. It will show. It will reflect. And then when we are in our golden years, and it's all by faith and through grace. I mean, we have to labor to enter his rest. We have to labor to enjoy. It's like a family vacation. Bless God, we're going to have fun. Now shut up and sit in the back and hush. We're having fun. We're on vacation. Hush. Then you get back and you need rest because all you did was spat and argue the whole time and chase babies, change poopy diapers. Come on, help a man. So So there is an effort there. It's not like, oh, enjoy life. Oh, okay, thanks for sharing that. That's great. You know, I mean, it's got to be worked out. And we swing from tree to tree, do we not? But at least we can set our hearts and set our sights. I'm gonna set my heart and mind and family to do that more. I wanna receive from that wine that I read about here in Scripture. And I'm gonna stay with my partner. One thing I do know, I'm gonna stay with him. He's staying with me. And by the grace of God and with his help, we'll be able to say, I enjoyed it as much as I could without crossing a line. Hello. We're talking about moral, legal, superior pleasures here. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we just thank you for principles, Lord, to lift us, Lord, that we might enter into the fullness of this life before us. Even though we referenced before Psalm 2, all that's coming on the earth, that's very real. It's very real. There's squirrely times. But all the more, let your glory arise and shine, for darkness is on the land, deep darkness the peoples, but the glory of the Lord will rise upon you. So Lord, I just pray that you just help us to enjoy you more. Lord, help us to enjoy life more and just take away that spiritual, secular divide and realize it's all spiritual that you've made. Everything has been created by you and for you. Lord, our activities, even the mundane things that we do, that we deem to be unimportant, there's joy there. There's enjoyment there. So we set our hearts in the posture of a choice. I choose joy and the enjoyment of this age. As Monday morning is coming here in a few hours, we choose joy. And we're going to find the enjoyment in the moment and the pleasures you bring. Simple things and profound things, both. We make music in our hearts to you, Lord.